Hello and welcome to Bible 101. Please enjoy our Bible 101 series as we explore Genesis through Revelation. Also, listen to our roundtable discussions as myself, Greg Ross, and Eric Feeman talk about the major theological discussions of the Bible. Also, enjoy some of our interviews and Apostolic Apologetics series. We thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you think by emailing BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. And also leave a comment to let us know what you think. Thank you for listening. Hello, and welcome to A Walk Through the Word of the Lord. This is going to be lesson number 3. Before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. We ask that you would speak to us today. Give us understanding and revelation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in our first lesson, we talked about what makes the Bible unique. We mentioned the fact that it's written by eyewitnesses. So without totally reteaching the lesson, we mentioned it's very different from the Quran, which is written by just one man who claims to have special knowledge of events that happened hundreds of years before him. But the Bible is written by eyewitnesses. Just a few verses of scripture that we read was the book of 1 John chapter number 1. So again, I encourage you to follow along with me in the word of the Lord, but let's go to 1 John chapter number 1, and verse number 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." So he says, we're not writing about things secondhand. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our ears. Our hands touched him. And then we also read, or if we didn't read it, we referred to it, the book of Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And notice what Luke is writing about here. It says, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they declared them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." So notice he's saying were eyewitnesses. The people that wrote the New Testament scriptures were eyewitnesses. Well, what about the Old Testament? So we mentioned the fact Moses wrote the first 5 books of your Old Testament. He observed the Exodus with his very own eyes. He saw the things firsthand. Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. He saw the things firsthand and testified of it. And then on and on and on, we could talk about many Old Testament books. So we mentioned how the Old Testament is set up. There's 39 books in your Old Testament. Best way to remember that is the word old has 3 letters in it. The word testament has 9. Put them together, that's 39. It covers about 3,600 years of history. And here's how it's set up. Genesis through Deuteronomy is the law of Moses. Joshua through Esther is the books of history. Job through Song of Solomon is the books of poetry. Isaiah through Malachi is the books of prophecy. So that is how it's set up. And then we got into the creation account. And then we started talking about creation. So that's where I want to pick up here. And I wanted to take a brief amount of time on review, but let's get right into today's lesson so we have plenty of time to focus on the lesson. So lesson number 2, we mentioned Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Notice that God does not take a lot of time to prove that he was the creator. He doesn't go into a lot of detail. It just says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God declares himself. He does not seek to prove himself. He's not going to prove himself to anybody. He only declares himself. We mentioned Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." In other words, that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him or carefully seek him. So you must, if you're going to approach God, you must believe 2 things, that God exists and that he rewards you if you seek after him. You must have faith. Faith is simply when God says it, I believe it. God's word said he's the creator. I take it by faith and I believe it. Now, there are many evidences. We mentioned the fact that Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Nobody is going to have an excuse on the day of judgment. You might say, "Well, you know, I didn't know there was a God." No, deep down inside, you know there's a God. And I don't appeal to your intellect. I appeal to your soul. Go out on a nice sunny day, kind of like it is today. Look up in the clouds and look at the beauty of creation and tell me you think that happened by chance. Think about the intricacies of the human eye. How did that evolve? Scientists still can't explain it to this day. Think about how your heart is beating right now and what a miracle it is when you see a newborn child born. Do you really believe that all of that happened by chance? No, I really don't think so. I don't believe that there's any such thing as a true atheist. I think it's just people suppressing the knowledge of God. We mentioned that in lesson number two, that in Romans chapter one, he said they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And what that word means is they suppress the truth. They push it downward. They know in their heart of hearts that there is a God, but they're suppressing that knowledge. Why? Because they know that if there is a God, they're going to have to change the way they live. So they don't want to think about the fact that there is a God. Now, you need to go on a search to find out who this God is. And can I tell you this? It's not Allah. Okay? We've already mentioned the fact the Quran tries to testify about things that happened hundreds of years before Muhammad. It's one man. You're taking one man's word for it. Not only that, there's what's called the satanic verses in the Quran, where Muslims believe that somehow an evil spirit got a hold of Muhammad's mind and messed with it. And there's certain verses called the satanic verses. Plus, there's many contradictions in it. However, there's no contradictions in the word of the Lord. And when God comes to verse 1 of chapter 1 of the first book of your Bible, he put the hardest thing to believe first. Somebody says, well, I don't believe they really marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days one time, and then on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times and the walls fell when they blasted the trumpets. I don't believe a donkey talked to a man. I don't believe that a whale swallowed a man and then spit him out 3 days later. Well, can I tell you this? That's nothing compared to Genesis 1 and 1. It says this, in the beginning, God created. And that word created means, and it's only used to describe the creative acts of God, it means to make something from nothing. Now, we can make something from existing matter. I mean, that's what inventors do. Like when Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, he couldn't just invent light. No, he had to take existing materials to make the light bulb. We can, make cars and different things of that nature, but we're going to need a lot of existing material to make that car. God needed no pre-existing material whatsoever when he created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Choose to believe it or not to believe it. That choice is in your court. But then I mentioned this in lesson number two, that when we come to study the word of the Lord, there's a three-pronged approach to study. First of all, what it says. Read it. Find out what the word of the Lord has to say. It's the only book God ever wrote. You need to find time to read it. And then secondly, what does it mean? So what does it say? Secondly, what does it mean? Study the word of the Lord. Study it. Okay. But thirdly, what does it mean for me? Apply the word of the Lord. James chapter 1 compares that man that approaches the word of the Lord and does not apply it to a man that beholds his natural face in a mirror and walks away and forgets what manner of man he was. So let me make this illustration. It's kind of a funny illustration, but let's say that you got up in the morning, your hair's all sticking straight up, and you got bad breath, and your teeth are black because you ate chocolate before you went to bed, and you did all of these funny things, and you wake up, and your clothes are all wrinkled. You walk up to the mirror, and you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're pretty honest. You say, boy, that looks pretty awful. But then you turn around, and you do nothing about your appearance. That's the type of person that approaches the Bible and reads it and does nothing about what it declares. So as we bring ourselves to study the word of the Lord, let's take this three-pronged approach. What does it say? We're going to do that. We're going to look at what it says. And then secondly, what does it mean? We're going to do that. We're going to look at what it means. But thirdly, we're going to be looking at scriptures to find out what it means for me. And then also, as we approach the Old Testament, we're going to be looking for Jesus in it. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So we can find Jesus in the Old Testament. So we're going to be looking for Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth. Now, I want to ask you a question. We mentioned this in lesson number 2. I'm just going to bring your mind back to it. As you read this, look for yourself here. Don't just take this as a creation account. Find out what it means for us. So, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, so we mentioned in lesson number 2, that describes our lives. That's the way we are without God. The earth was that way before God really started intervening. And remember, I mentioned the fact God could have put the earth together all in one day. He could have just said, all right, earth, function the way I want you to function. Be perfect. And it would have been perfect, but that's not what God did. Day by day, he took time to divide the light from the darkness on day one. Day two, made the firmament. Sky. We're going to get into all these days. But day three, dry land and seas, grass, herbs, and trees. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. And days, seasons, and years. Day five, the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. Day six, the animals and man. And on the seventh day, he rested. Did he have to do it that way? Absolutely not. He is God. He didn't have to do it that way, but he did it that way to teach us a very important principle. And that principle is when we come to God, we just want God to fix our mess. All right, God, I'm showing up at church this week. I've got a mess. You know, I'm on drugs. My family's a mess. My family's torn apart. All right, God, put it all back together again. And they expect, go to the altar, you know, pray a little prayer and walk away. And all right, that's fine. God's going to put it all together. That's not the way it works at all. But if you stay consistent and allow God to, he will put your life together day by day by day. That's what he did with the earth. That's what he's going to do with our lives. So notice, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, I want to take it a step further than just what we talked about in the last lesson. Watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now remember, we're looking at what it says, what it means for me, but we're also looking for references to Jesus. Surprise, surprise, there's a reference to Jesus. So look, remember this. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness, deep, waters, okay? And watch, and the Spirit of God moved, that word moved means hovered over, brooded over, upon the face of the waters. I want you to keep your thumb there and go with me to your New Testament, to the book of John. Go with me to the New Testament, to the book of John, and we're going to go to chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6, and we're going to go begin to read with verse 15. John chapter 6 and verse 15. Again, John comes right after the book of Luke, right before the book of Acts. It's in the New Testament. So feel free to pause the recording until you find this verse of scripture. So I'm going to begin reading. So hit play whenever you find it. Here we go. John 6, 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea. Now I want to recall to your mind, darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's keep reading. And when even was now come, his disciples went down upon the sea, or unto the sea, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark. All right, darkness was upon the face of the deep. It's now dark, okay? And then it says this, and Jesus was not come to them. Verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Here's the chaos. It says, so that when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus, watch this, walking on the sea. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here's Jesus. It's dark. There's chaos. And Jesus is walking, brooding over, hovering over. He's walking upon the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Watch this. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Guess what? Another gospel records an event where Jesus said, peace, be still. And the storm calmed. What does this teach us? The same God in the book of Genesis chapter 1, that his Spirit moved upon the face of those chaotic waters that was full of darkness and said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God that indwelt the man Christ Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh who brooded over, who walked upon that sea that was full of darkness and chaos and could simply say, peace, be still, and it would be still. It's very beautiful. All right, but we're going to find something else out here. So let's go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 3. Watch this. Now, we mentioned this a little bit in the last lesson. I'm going to rehearse some of that, but then we're going to get into some new material here. It says, Genesis 1 and 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. We mentioned the fact in the last lesson, when you read the word light in the Bible, it means more than just light. It also speaks of revelation. Okay, so the entrance of thy words, this is in the book of Psalms, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. The Bible says of Jesus in John chapter number 1 and verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then it goes on to say, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, which means the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. So what does this tell us? Jesus is light. He's revelation to us. He's understanding to us. All of us without God grope in a world of darkness. The best you can do living a life of sin is to grope about in darkness. In fact, the Bible talks about Satan. It says, the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. So here's the thing. The devil wants you to grope in darkness for the rest of your life. But God is a God of light, and God is a God of order. Let God step into your world and say, let there be light. Now watch this. This is what's so interesting. Day one, God walks on the scene. Now picture this in your mind. Chaotic world. It's a mess. It's without form. It's without void. How is God going to fix the problem? You know what he does on day one? He says, let there be light. He divides light from darkness. He says, all right, that's good enough for today. Now, if you were standing back watching this, you'd fold your arms and say, what in the world is God doing? This does not make a lick of sense. But you know what God does when somebody comes to church? The man of God stands up and he preaches, and that revelation, that light comes through the word of the Lord, and it shines on it. And guess what? As long as the earth was in darkness, the mess was hidden. When the light came on, the mess was revealed. It's the same way when you come to God and you read his word. You know, that's why so many people, they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to go to church because God flips on the light. It's the first thing he does. And you say, oh, I'm a mess. My life is broken. As long as you were groping about in the darkness, you could hide a lot of stuff. Just walk into a messy house that's full of junk and garbage. As long as it's in the dark, you don't know it's messy. But when you flip on the light, critters start running. You look down and you see the mess. Man, I got to do something about this. You know what so many people do, though? When God flips on the light, they turn around and walk out. That's not what I want in church. Man, that church offended me. I hear it all the time. Yeah, I was hurt by a church because I went up and the preacher preached against me and blah, blah, blah. Really, what they mean is the preacher turned the light on in their life through by preaching the word of the Lord, and they realized my life's a mess. And they didn't like what they saw. So we mentioned that a little bit in the last lesson. I don't want to reteach it. And watch this, verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now remember, I mentioned the fact God is a God of order. But in order for there to be order, there has to be division. God is going to have to cut some stuff out of your life for there to be order in your life. So there's a lot of different things. We're going to talk about life and death in a later lesson. So we're going to keep moving here. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We mentioned the fact that God doesn't think in the terms we do. We say the morning and the evening are a day. God doesn't look at it like that. He says the evening and the morning were the day. All right. Verse number 6. Now, here's where we get into this, talking about God's creative acts. Now, I want you to notice something. We're going to point this out. And at this point, I'm going to move kind of rapidly. And I'm going to stop and go back to some of this. But at this point, I'm going to move kind of rapidly here. Verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament. All right. What does that word firmament mean? It means expanse. Okay. It means sky, but it means expanse. All right. So he says, let there be a firmament or an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Here's the word again, division. God's a God of order. But first of all, for there to be order, he has to bring division. He's going to have to separate light from darkness. He's going to have to separate the waters above from the waters beneath. Okay. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 8 of Genesis 1. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. All right. Verse 9. Now notice a pattern here. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, we're going to kind of skip through here, but I want you to notice something here. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth. Now, watch this. God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning, okay? Now, watch. Let the earth bring forth grass. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Here's one thing I want to point out to you. So first of all, we mentioned the fact that God divides. He's a God of order, so he brings division. He reveals that which is messy. But notice this. When God creates, he gives creation its own creative potential. Notice when God created the earth, he said, let the earth bring forth. Then he said, seed is going to bring forth. Then he said, trees are going to bring forth. It's not the will of God for you to lie dormant. It's not the will of God for you to just sit there and never produce. God wants you to produce. He gives you the ability to produce something unto him. If you read in the New Testament, in fact, let's go there. Hold your finger there. Let's go to the book of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter number 3. Now, this is recording the ministry of John the Baptist, and this is where John the Baptist is baptizing. But I want you to notice something that John the Baptist says. Matthew chapter number 3. Again, that's New Testament, very first book in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 3, and let's go to verse number 8. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8. Now, in context, Matthew is baptizing. There's Pharisees and Sadducees that come to his baptism. And what he says is, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then here's where verse 8 plays into it. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So he says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. You say, well, what does fruit mean? Does God want me to start growing apples? No, God doesn't want you to start growing apples or fruit. But what he means is, his fruit means good works. Bring forth good works, in other words, that prove your repentance. All right, let's flip over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, and verse let's go to verse number 15, Matthew 7, verse 15. This is the teaching of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, this will be in red letters, meaning Jesus spoke these words. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves or devouring wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is speaking about judgment. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. All right, Jesus is telling us how you know somebody is truly a Christian, like they profess to be a Christian, is by their works, okay? God wants us to bring forth good works unto him. I'm not saying our works save us. Do not misunderstand me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration with the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's not your good works that save you. But listen, when God brings you forth, he expects you to produce unto him. That is God's ultimate for you. He wants you to bring forth fruit unto him. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and let's go to verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. All right, at this point, we're going to move very, very rapidly. Verse 14, and I'm just going to read a few verses of scripture. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. There's division again. Watch this. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, this is funny. God waited until day 4 to even create time. Boy, he doesn't do things like we do it. And so I'm reminded of a story in the New Testament where the Bible says there was a man that was sick of the palsy, and he's laid on a mat. So he's bound to a bed. He can't get up by himself. He can't get to Jesus by himself. But there's four men that pick him up and carry him by a mat. Now, the house Jesus was teaching in was filled. And so they went up on the roof and they started pulling tiles off of the roof and they started lowering him down with ropes down in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, watch this. Obviously, this man is sick of the palsy. He needs a miracle. Did Jesus look at him and say, be thou healed? Get up, rise up, take up your mat and walk. No, Jesus looks at him and he says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, wait a minute, Jesus, I didn't come to you for my sins to be forgiven. I didn't even know I have sins in my life. I came to you for a miracle. But Jesus knew that this man is not going to get his miracle until his sin problem is fixed. Why? Because if God healed him and he went right back to a life of sin, what good would that do? But Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he said to the Pharisees, he said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He looked at the sick of the palsy. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. He got up and he walked. And everybody was astonished, but that was proof that his sins had been forgiven, that Jesus had the power to forgive his sins. So here's what I'm saying. God doesn't do things in the order we think he should. We come to God saying, God, fix my familial problems. God, fix my health. God, fix this and that. But God, many times, he'll look at us and say, what about that sin problem that needs fixed? You see, because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God doesn't want you to experience death. God wants you to experience life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have life, not death. So he's going to deal with that sin problem because he realizes, you know, if he heals your physical body, you're going to still die one day physically. But there's going to come a day that sin is going to destroy you. He doesn't want that sin to destroy you. He wants to deal with the sin problem. That's more important than the physical issues. Okay, now, real quickly, let's skip down to verse number 20. And God said, notice this, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. Remember, God gives creation itself, creative potential. Notice what he says there, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great wells and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly. There it is again. All right, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. See, there it is. God wants us to multiply. He's speaking to the animals, multiply, bring forth, bring forth, bring forth. Okay, verse number 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24, here it is again. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. All right. So here we go. Day one, light and darkness divided. Day two, the firmament, sky, division of water. Day three, dry land, seas, grass, herbs, trees. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. Day, seasons, years. Day five, fish of the sea, birds of the air. Day six, animals. And then we read in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, did you notice a pattern there? Every creative act God did, he did it with his word. God said, all right, again, going back, verse 3. Verse 6, God said. Verse 9, God said. All right. Verse number 11, God said. Verse 14, God said. Verse 20, God said. Verse 24, God said. Verse 26, God said. Now, I want you to keep your thumb there and go with me to the book of John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1. Again, we're looking for Jesus in our Old Testament. John, chapter 1, and verse number 1. In the beginning. Now, does this sound familiar? Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Watch John. He's referring back to that, but he's going to give us some more insight. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Remember, God said, God said, God said. In the beginning was the Word. That word in the Greek is the word logos. It could mean spoken word. It could mean written word. It could mean concept. It could mean idea. It could mean plan. All right, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't separate God from his Word. All right, notice this, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ah, the Word was Jesus. All right. God created everything with his word. God said, God said, God said. And it's revealed later on, the ultimate aspect of the word was Jesus Christ. When the word was actualized, the word was made flesh. I like what one man said, from essence to expression. All right, from the essence of God, God's spoken word. But the ultimate word of God was Jesus Christ becoming flesh. He is God's plan from the very beginning. We're going to get more into this in depth a little bit later. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 1. Now, I want to point something out. What makes man unique? So let's talk about what makes man unique. Now, here's what's interesting is verse 26. Did you know we're not unique because God made us out of the ground? Did you know that? No, because God made animals out of the ground. All right. Now, you want me to prove that? Okay, let's go here to Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to come back to this later. Genesis 2 and verse 19. Watch this. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Well, we're not unique because we came out of the ground. Remember, out of the ground came forth grass. Out of the ground came animals. That's not what makes us unique. What then makes us unique? Let's read Genesis 1. And verse 26 again. And God said, let us make man, watch, in our image. What makes you unique today is that you're made in the image of God. Animals, they have bodies. Animals live, they breathe. But what makes us different than animals is they weren't created in God's image. But we were. We were created in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? I want to show you. It's three-pronged. Okay, three-pronged. We're made up of three components. I'm going to prove this to you. So I want you to go real quick with me, and we're almost done with this lesson. 1 Thessalonians. So let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, it's in your New Testament. All right, 1 Thessalonians comes right after the book of Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. And watch this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that, watch this, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're made up of three components. Watch. Spirit, soul, and body. Now I want to show you something. All right. How was our body formed? Let's look at it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Now, Genesis chapter 1 gives an overview of creation, but Genesis chapter 2 gives us more specifics. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, this is what it says. And the Lord God formed. Now notice that. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And remember, you're made out of the dust of the ground, by the way. Okay, that's important. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Remember, you're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So he formed man out of the dust of the ground. What happens to your body when you die? Well, let's find out. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 3, and let's go to verse number 19. And this is what God says after man falls in the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Can I tell you today, when you die, what happens? You're buried. You go back to the dust from whence you were created. Well, then what happens to our spirit? Okay, well, let's find out what happens to the spirit. Ecclesiastes, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes, so Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. That's in your Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, and let's read verse number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. When you die, your body goes back to the dust. Your spirit returns unto God. Now, the Bible does talk about resurrected bodies. I'm not getting into all that right now. Okay, but your body will go back to the dust. Your spirit will go back to God that gave it. But what then will happen to our soul? Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 28. Okay? That's first book in your New Testament. Again, we're returning there again. We read from it earlier. Matthew 10 and verse number 28. Once again, this is the words of Jesus. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Your soul will spend eternity either in heaven or hell, and that choice is yours. Bible says hell wasn't created for mankind. It was created for the devil and his angels. Never the intention for any of God for anybody to go to hell. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But your soul is eternal, just like God is eternal. Okay, let's look at it from this perspective. And I wish I could get into more depth here. So how are we made in God's image? Let's talk about the body. Did you know the Bible says Adam was made in the similitude of him who was to come? Speaking about Jesus Christ. Adam was a type of Jesus who was to come. The Bible says by one man's sin entered into humanity, but by one man's obedience, mankind can be redeemed. All right? Adam was a type of Jesus Christ. He was made in the image of him who was to come, in the similitude of him who was to come. You can read that in the book of Romans, I believe it is. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but look it up. It's there. Okay? What about the spirit? John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, what about the soul? Your soul is eternal, just like God is eternal. We're made in the image of God. Now, there's a lot of nuances to that. But here's something you need to know. God created you to need him. We're made in his image. God created us to need him. You're never going to find happiness without God. I'll never forget, I heard a testimony one time of a young man that said he had spent his life involved in drugs and in gangs and was in fight after fight, drinking like crazy, doing drugs like crazy, and he kept trying to find satisfaction, and he was never happy. And he said he looked somebody in the eye, and they said words that he said would haunt him for years to come. And they told him, they said, you will never be happy without God. Can I tell you today? You'll never be happy without God. God created you to need him. Now, this is where we're going to stop in lesson number 3. We'll pick up in lesson number 4 and we'll talk about the fall of man. We're taking our time going through these first few chapters of Genesis because they're very, very important to us. Let us pray in closing. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to study the Word of God. I'm asking Jesus that you would speak to whoever's listening to this today. Now, God, I don't know their heart. I don't know their situations. I don't even know who's going to listen to this. But Jesus, I pray that you would speak to them, give them understanding and revelation. Help them to understand that they need you. Help them to be patient with the process as you put their life together day by day. And God, that happens through your word. Lord Jesus, as we take time to read the word of the Lord and study it, piece by piece, put our lives together through your word. We thank you. God, we give you praise and worship and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible 101 episode. Please leave a comment to let us know what you think. Also email BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That is BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com to leave us comments, questions, or maybe ideas for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening.